Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you this week for a first little peek at next year. This is our first look at 2022. There are lots of things going on that could impact performance for next year, and we want to take a quick little look at those items. We'll do a detailed 2022 analysis in January, but this is our first look, and thanks for joining me. As always, if you have any questions, you can email me, pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com, and please remember to swing by the Learning Center at marapoling.com for lots of other great educational content. Okay, so a first look at 2022. As I said, in January, we'll do our normal detailed webinar about 2022, about a forecast, and we'll talk about a variety of factors. Today, what I wanted to do was go through five items, actually four key indicators, and then one kind of summary point that we're currently looking at for 2022 and how they're impacting our decision-making today at Mara Poling. And these are going to be interest rates, cap rates, occupancy, rents, and then a final, as I said, kind of summary point that pulls them all together. First, let's start with interest rates. Everybody's always interested in what interest rates are going to look like next year. Every year, everybody's interested in what they're going to look like next year. I certainly am. And we also probably, as an investor group, all of us collectively, and all of you, we all probably put too much emphasis on interest rates. Now, that's not to say that a move in interest rates doesn't affect the performance of an asset, especially when we're underwriting a new acquisition. We just need to keep in mind that that's just one of many factors that's in an underwrite. For example, we are forecasting rising interest rates in 22. We have been forecasting rising interest rates for several years, and we have been wrong. In some instances, we've been wrong in the opposite directions because rates actually went down. We are not forecasting increases on the order of 100 basis points or 200 or something like that. We don't see the market going from where we are now, which is high twos and low to mid threes, to suddenly money's going to cost me 5.5% or 6%. We don't believe that is going to happen next year. We certainly could see increases in the order of 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe even 50 basis points. And when you take an underwrite and you make that kind of an adjustment to it, it certainly takes deals that are at the edge of the strike zone, if you will, and it pushes them outside, and suddenly they don't work. But most solid performing transactions continue to perform with some interest rate movement like that. There simply isn't that much leverage on 10 or 20 basis points of swing. And that's what we think is likely for this next year, is that we'll see movement in interest rates. In one sense, we kind of like interest rates to go up, especially if we're going to transact an asset. If we've got an asset that's increased in value and we want to sell out of it and it has yield maintenance or defeasance on it, that moves inversely to interest rates. So we could see a reduction in those costs if, in fact, we saw interest rates move. But again, that's really marginal for the kind of movement we're talking about. So item number one, interest rates. We think they're going to go up. We've been saying that for a while. I really do believe we'll be correct next year. And we think it'll be modest and ultimately has a modest impact. What's that doing to our decision-making right now? Kind of nothing. We are underwriting increasing interest rates. The deals that we are looking at today that are good deals are still good deals. The deals that don't make it today obviously don't get any better in a higher interest rate environment. And none of that is making us sellers next year. that we wouldn't have been sellers otherwise. Like I said, we might see some modest decreases in our yield maintenance expenses if we rolled out of an asset before term. But that's not enough to suddenly make us a seller when we weren't before. All right, cap rates. Again, look beyond the actual math of the cap rate to what's going on. We believe cap rates are going to hold basically steady. Now, what we think you should take from that isn't some reinforcement of this thing called a cap rate. What we want everyone to take from that is we believe the marketplace for multifamily investments is going to remain essentially stable, meaning for the number of transactions that are available, we think there'll be about the same number of capable buyers that there are today. That's what a cap rate is. A cap rate is a reflection of how much interest there is from buyers that really are buyers, and how many deals are available from sellers that really are sellers, that aren't poking the market or just being looky-loos. If we saw a significant change in the number of transactions available, if sellers pulled back and weren't putting properties on the market, or a large number were putting properties on the market, then we'd see some movement in that dynamic. Units would either go for higher prices if there were fewer available to buy, or they'd go for lower prices if there were more out there. Conversely, if more people want to get into multifamily, it's kind of hard to imagine. There's an awful lot of investment money chasing multifamily right now. If more want to get in, then that's going to push prices higher. If fewer do, and that's generally the thought when interest rates go up, is that there'll be buyers that will leave the market, either because the deals won't pencil for them anymore, or because they'll actually be attracted to those interest rates and they'll want to go put their money there. There may be some of that. There hasn't really been much of that in the last few years when we've seen any kind of interest rate movement. So we think we're going to be in a fairly stable environment. Cap rates are low. Don't get us wrong. We're certainly at a place where there's a lot of demand for product and only so many deals out there. But there's not a forecast out there that I've seen that says suddenly people are going to decide they don't want to invest in multifamily. Multifamily is going to be a desirable asset class for quite some time. And when you look at the impact that we've seen in retail and hospitality and others over the last few years, that simply has reinforced the value of investing in multifamily. So interest rates, we think they'll go up a little over time. And cap rates, we think they're going to hold pretty steady. What about rents? Well, rents have been growing very dramatically. And we do not think that is going to continue. Will it continue into 22? Probably. It won't be that way for the entirety of 22. We don't think we should be making decisions based on that. We think the decisions we're making should be based on still significant rent growth, but much more modest than what we've actually experienced this year. We would typically forecast a 2.5% to 3% movement in rent over time. Right now, we think next year could be a 5% year. It's been significantly above 5% in the markets that we're active in. And that's certainly possible, but we don't think it makes sense to make decisions based on that. We also don't think it makes sense to think of 5% as the new 3%. We don't believe markets will continue to grow year over year at 5%. This bulge that we're in the middle of, where there's significant demand in particular for Class B housing, and we have this static supply in Class B, we believe that that will pass, that as those people get brought into the marketplace and fill properties, that we will get to a point of equilibrium, and then we'll be back to 2.5% to 3% rent movement on an annual basis. So we're not underwriting large rent increases deep into the future. We do envision strong rent growth in 2022, and that continues to make us buyers. All right, what about occupancy? Occupancy is another factor that has an impact on not just NOI, but obviously on rents. One of the ways you could move NOI very quickly is to increase the occupancy of a property because you get that bump right away, as opposed to a rent increase, which takes an entire year to cycle through everyone in the property. Obviously, those two are connected, though. If a property is very highly occupied, that is the market saying you've got a great value relative to what else is out there, and there's an opportunity if you want to increase your price, to increase rents, and to do so until that occupancy reaches a more quote-unquote normal level. So we actually believe that occupancy is going to decrease in 2022. Not from a negative standpoint. That's not because suddenly folks are going to flee the Class B market, that we're going to lose tenants. We believe it's going to decrease because we're going to be getting closer to that equilibrium point where the renewal increases that we're asking for, the rents we're asking for on new leases, are going to get to a place where there will be other options that tenants, prospective tenants, will then decide make more sense for them. Currently, we are seeing, not only in our own portfolio, but across the industry, very high occupancy rates. And those high occupancy rates, obviously, are what's driving the rent movement. So just as we think rents will not grow as rapidly next year, but still very strongly, we think occupancy will not just stabilize, but actually begin to return to a more normal level. We are, in our portfolio, effectively fully occupied, so 97% plus. We would love to see our properties in those mid-90 numbers, 94, 95%, something like that, with very solid, strong rent growth. That really makes the entire model work well. It not only gives us strong rent growth on renewals, but it gives us fresh inventory because you need people to move out of units so you can do improvements and upgrades and reposition that unit so that it can rent for a higher price, so that it provides more value to the new tenant that comes. So if interest rates are going to go up a little bit and cap rates are going to hold fairly steady and rents are going to continue to grow with some strength, although not as fantastically as they have in the last year, and occupancy is going to remain very strong, but essentially pull back to a healthier level for all of us, then is this a good time to be buyers? Or is it a good time to be sellers? We're in the buyers' camp. We believe now is a good time to be acquiring assets. And while we have assets in our portfolio that might make sense to sell, it would only be something that we would sell such that we could do a 1031 and buy an even larger asset. So we are buyers. We're bulls in this particular market. And we don't see anything on the horizon in 22 that is going to change that. Obviously, that ties directly back to the cap rate conversation we just had, which is we don't see a significant change in the number of buyers that are out there. Because in general, the multifamily investors look like us. They see the same trends. They all see the same opportunities. And everyone continues to believe that it makes sense to be in this space. And if you're underwriting based, in other words, if that's how you make decisions, is based on underwrites, not on cap rates or any other factors, but if you're underwritten based, then you're going to make good quality buying decisions. The same is true on the sales side. Obviously, all of our assets are for sale. If someone calls me today on an asset I paid $10 million for that I think is worth $15 million, and they want to offer me $18 million for it, I'm going to listen, especially if I think I can take that money and turn around and go buy a $20 or a $25 million property with it. But I'm not out actively soliciting the sale of any of our assets because, again, we're very bullish on this space and we think it makes a lot of sense to at least hold our positions, certainly to hold an ownership position, whether it's in a particular asset or in the second generation asset that would replace it. So in January, we're going to take a look at all of these factors and a few more in detail with some data from nice folks at the Fed and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and a bunch of other folks. And we'll take a look and see how accurate our first look is compared to that forecast, where we'll have data from all these wonderful outside sources. And then in the middle of next year, we'll take a look back and see, well, how'd we do so far? And what do we think the second half looks like? So if you are a private investor, if you have your own portfolio, do this same analysis in the market that you're in, right? Look at what you think interest rates are going to be, what kind of demand there is for deals, what might be happening with rents, occupancy, and the like. And then you can make your own decision as to whether or not you're a buyer or a seller. If you're a investor with a sponsor, someone like us, or actually with us, then you might look to your sponsor to see what their thoughts are on these items. If you are not yet in the multifamily space, this is still a wonderful time to join. This is not the top of a market. We are going to continue to see strong demand in the multifamily space from both tenants, as well as from buyers, meaning that the assets we currently own will continue to grow and we believe have very strong NOI opportunities going forward. And when there is an opportunity to sell, we think it's a very healthy market to sell in and then to turn around and redeploy that that capital. And that's really the key component. We don't think this is a market to be looking at an exit in. So hopefully you found all this valuable. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. And with that, I'll leave you until our next episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Polo.